Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 516, Children of the Comet.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And hello. Week two of Strange New Worlds.
Yes, what we are that? Doing...
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying something new.
Okay. You need to let me know first, otherwise I'm going to talk right over your hello, and I don't want to do that.
Maggie, you can't just spring hello on me.
Yeah, we got a plan for this. We got to pre-show that shit.
I can and I will.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to fumble. You know I'm not good at anything.
Oh, God, am I supposed to say hello?
Uh-huh.
Were we supposed to do it together? Oh, God.
It's not in the document.
Maggie, please.
So, week two of Strange New Worlds.
Yup.
Show's still pretty good.
I had a great time.
Some of the plot didn't really hold together, and we'll get into it, but
the
tone is perfect. The characters are, well, the characters with one exception, as usual, are great.
Yeah, one. Just one. Mm-hmm. One stinking up the joint.
Yeah, it's a great ensemble of like not just the main credits guys, but like some of the lesser like people you don't see very much. Still good, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you all having a jolly good time in here? Don't you care about famine?
Yeah, that really is like the person on social media who's like, oh well, you're having a laugh. Someone is starving. Like wow,
There's that thing on Tumblr that I think about every time she speaks up that's like where your waiter's like, is everything okay? Yeah, great. Ugh, even war?
Yep. That's that's our Con Jr.
Yep.
All right. Well, let me get into it and tell you about Children of the Comet, which is put, you're not going to know this probably, but has put the Iron Maiden song Children of the Damned in my head all week. So.
Oh, well, thanks. Good. I guess. Is that good?
I like Iron Maiden. I think you would like Iron Maiden too, actually.
I probably do. I probably like three of their songs and just don't know it's theirs.
It's all the time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Cadet Uhura is headed to Pike's quarters for his regular dinner at the captain's table, a naval tradition that I was stunned to realize has never really been done by any of the other Trek series. There, she rubs elbows with the senior staff, including our new chief engineer, a blind albino Andorian named Hemmer. He's a huge jerk, just a real hot penis, so naturally I love him instantly. Over the course of the evening, Uhura reveals both her tragic backstory, academic parents died in a freak shuttle accident, and the fact that she's not even sure she wants to be in Starfleet, which very sensibly drives Spock to take her aside after the meal and inform her that remaining on the ship will guarantee her a career lasting 79 episodes, an animated series, and 6 feature films. Not to mention the extremely lucrative convention circuit. But, he says, if you truly do not wish to be here, you could step out of the way so that someone else may have an opportunity. Perhaps young Pavel Chekhov. Ha ha ha, never mind, says Uhura and vows to stick it out. Soon after, the Enterprise happens upon a comet on a direct collision course with an inhabited planet. I suspect some killjoy somewhere probably pointed out that comets couldn't possibly move so quickly as to surprise a passing ship with their sudden appearance, but as we have established many times over, pretty much from day one, those types are not welcome here. Sensors detect some kind of something on the comet's surface. So, that, along with the fact that the episode is called Children of the Comet, leads Pike to believe that he should send an away team over there. Let's see. The audience is warming to Uhura this week, so we'll send her. Yes, very good. Also Spock, of course, and Sam Kirk. Another great choice. And let's see, you go too, Con Jr. God damn it! Well, I mean, it's not like she'll stare everyone down while they're getting their medical injections, making them feel inferior for wincing in pain. Also, it's not like she'll shame Uhura for getting a bit flustered on her first away mission. Actually, says Christopher Walken from Batman Returns, it's a lot like that. I'm not sure why he's here. But he's definitely more welcome than those killjoys I mentioned earlier, or Con Jr. As they're poking around the various structures, Sam ignores his superior's calls for caution. What a strange behavior from a Kirk. And ends up flat on his back for the rest of the mission. Uhura begins to work out that the giant egg thing they've discovered responds to singing, so she and Spock do a little soft shoe while Khan Jr. glares in disapproval, which is her favorite and only way to glare at people. They try to call back home to report their findings, but the comet has put up a force field that bricks their phones and also the transporter. Poor Kyle. Back on the Enterprise, Pike and the gang are being confronted by a giant ship piloted by some alien freaks calling themselves the Shepherds. Ugh. They demand that the Enterprise leave the comet alone because it's God or something. Then the two ships start shooting at each other. Ortegas manages some goddamn breathtaking maneuvers that get the Enterprise to the far side of the comet, which allows them to beam the away team back on board. It also allows Spock to discreetly crack the comet in twain, thus averting the catastrophe and actually improving conditions on the planet, because all that ice now melts into much-needed rain. "See, I told you the comet was God," says the alien freak. And the weird thing? Uhura later manages to decipher the tentative communication from the comet from earlier, and it turns out it, the comet, knew that all of this was going to happen in the first place, which is kind of like Pike knowing that he's going to save those cadets before he ends up in the beeping box. Then Number One basically turns to the camera to tell us this. Not your most subtle move, strange new
You know, Chris, if you think about it, this comet's actually a lot like what you're doing right now. Really?
Thanks. You know we're doing episodic and not serial. We don't have to keep bringing stuff back. I think
it's important to sum this up for everyone. We might have some real idiots watching this at home, and this whole thing might fly right over their heads.
Okay, I don't think that it will, but okay. Yeah, there were just, I don't know. There were a few things I didn't love. Overall, I would say this is a solid middle of the pack Strange New Worlds episode. It's just not like outstanding, is all. It's pretty good.
I remember watching this when it first came out. Like, I'd watched the pilot and I was watching this, and this was sort of like, okay, I get exactly what you guys are doing and I am completely here for it. It's like you said, it's not perfect, but what it is exactly what I want out of Trek right now.
No, and it's very, like we talked about this last week, and we will talk about this a lot going forward, just how well they capture that 60s vibe. That the hopefulness, the exploring things, the trying to find common ground with aliens, trying to decipher unusual things that we've never seen, like all that stuff that we love, and plus the aesthetic.
Like, they land on a comet, find an ancient alien architecture, and a weird space egg. I'm just sitting here rubbing my hands in delight, just like, yes!
Yeah. No, that's stuff that we both love. Mm-hmm. And Trek hasn't done a ton of. There was a
Not
little
really.
Bit of overlap. There was a little bit of overlap between this and that one season of Disco that I really liked.
With the good season of Disco.
Yeah, the unusual alien artifact, and inside the comet structure looked a bit even like the some of the stuff that Michael was exploring that season, which I didn't love. But wait, was it that season or was it the one with fucking Maul and Locke? I can't remember.
Oh God, I don't remember. That entire season shot right out of my brain, and frankly, good riddance to it. If I never have to say the words Maul and Locke again, it'll be too soon.
See, I have to remind myself every now and then. Otherwise, someone will write in and say, "What do you think of Maul and Locke?" And I'll be like, "Who?"
I gotta say that, like, if you're right again to ask about what we thought about Maul and Locke, we got a lot of evidence about what that would be.
You need a little bit better listening comprehension. You're not wrong.
I can't figure out, do they like Maul and Locke?
I don't know. There have been situations, that was a horrible example, but there have been situations where if I don't occasionally refresh my memory, I am absolutely lost when it comes to callbacks on this very show or like people writing in to ask us about things. So I try to go back through our notes every now and then and like refresh my memory and all that. But
it's just anything that happened in our entire lives at this point.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, it's getting harder. Like, it all just falls out of my head. So
yeah.
Whereas you have a lot, you've decided to do a lock block, which I appreciate.
Yep. I got a full lock block going on here.
Anyway, why talk about
lock
that?
Lock was the better one.
Lock was
the better one. Ugh.
Yeah, he still sucked though.
Oh.
Yeah, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this show.
Yes.
Let's get into your good thing.
Yeah. So giving the main character chair to Uhura this week on her first away mission is really great stuff. And yep. having the space mystery tie into both her linguistics background and her love of music is also a really good way to, like, both show you who the character is and also honor the backstory of a character who, again, had maybe three things to do in the original series.
Yeah, even the movies, she had probably one good moment in each movie, but those were two-hour movies, and that's not very much.
No, it's like, listen, we all know what we're here for, unfortunately.
Yeah. We all know what that guy wants us to be here for. Yeah. Swinging his big willy around.
Now that I've said it, I can't not think about it.
Oh. So enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. They call me Big Willie Shatner.
Nobody has ever called you that until Maggie just now.
Oh, I'm sorry for the crime I committed.
So what? Anyway, like, when we refer to people from Canada who should be celebrated, who are quite a few, like there's a lot of great, like we call them Canadian treasures.
Yes.
But what do you call Shatner?
A Canadian, not a crime because it's not our fault. But what's the opposite of a treasure?
Well, like that's what I was trying to pull.
If you find a big box of pirate turds, like buried on a desert island, like
pirate turds, like the ship's litter box.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Arr, unload it here and mark it with an O so no one will know to dig here. This so makes X's perfect sense to pirates.
Yep. Well, okay. All right. Anyway, sorry. Please continue about Uhura.
I love her doubt for herself, and I also love the crew's repeated messages to her that, yes, actually, you do belong here. Yes. Like, there's the bit where they're checking the egg out, and Sam's like, so, you know, what do you think? Like, is it artistic? Are they trying to tell us something? And there's a beat where she's like, I assume he's talking to Spock. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, Uhura, tap, tap, tap. I'm talking to you. Oh,
yeah. Hey,
you care what
linguist.
I think?
Linguist. Does this writing look like language? Linguist?
It's like, yeah, I know you're a cadet, but also you're on the away mission. Like,
and you have expert knowledge that none of us have. That's the point of putting you on an away mission.
None of us are going to stop being away until we all sort of chime in on this thing.
Yeah, like, yes, you are junior in rank, but you are superior in this specific knowledge that we need you for. That's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much. Just like
her dynamic with Sam was perfect because she stuck with Spock, who is trying his best to be human, but you know, like that's Spock. That's Spock's whole deal is like he's not great at it. And then you got Khan Jr. just being mad at her for humming.
Mm-hmm.
Like
for no reason.
Would you knock it off? Stop having fun over that. Jesus Christ, lady. So and then you got Sam saying, hey, it's cool. Like he's got some of his brother's charm, and he's like,
yeah,
it's all right. Let's work this out. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do this.
You can. Yeah. And it's great. And then he falls flat on his ass like in the second act. And then she doesn't have that friendly face anymore, which sucks.
That was the one thing I was actually really disappointed to lose Sam that early. Like, that character's great.
Yeah. And when they pulled that fake out last week, it's like, oh, shit, we get to know very deep bench character.
Yeah.
Sam Kirk, who died off screen in one episode. And then Kirk never, as you said, pointed out last week, never mentioned him again. So like,
we
know Kirk has a brother. We know he was in Starfleet. Well, let's get into it. And that's perfect. Great opportunity.
Yeah. I really love the choice to make him, if not like one of the cast, then like a reoccurring character, you know,
As I recall, that is more what he is, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I hope we get a little time with Transporter Chief Kyle also. I hope we get more time.
That would
with,
also
you
be
know,
nice.
Like some of the people on the bridge who aren't like main credits guys but are still interesting. You know, like
just anytime you bring in a guy that I remember from the original series, I do a full Leonardo DiCaprio point and I'm always happy to see them, you know?
Yes. To much greater extent than not, but there's one or two we haven't gotten to him yet, but really, there's just the one, and his name is Kirk. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there later.
Yep.
Sam,
but
A+. You know, Jim.
I honestly would have kept him in the bag for a while, like bringing him in. And what is it?
I'm pretty sure we're gonna. No, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see him at least briefly in season one. I might be wrong about that, but I think we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, we haven't gotten there yet. Let's talk about what we're actually watching. So.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Spock's, like, talk to her at the end also was really good. Just, like, great stuff with both of those characters. The, like, doing the I don't know if you're, like, if you're going to be here, awesome, but if you don't want to be here, like, this is the most coveted
Everybody
spot.
Does. So, yeah.
Everyone wants to be on the Enterprise. Like, we're the guys.
Yeah.
And, like, having him come back later and she's expecting another, like, you should get out of here, and him going, no, like, if you need to leave, you need to leave. But, like, mm-hmm. you do belong here. You have a place here with the rest of us.
It also really, one, Uhura's backstory, never spoken in any show mm-hmm. or movie. Like, they might have made it up for the show, or maybe they pulled it from one of the novels or something. But
that wouldn't surprise me, but I honestly don't know.
The fact that she is from, I wrote it down, but I believe it's Kenya.
Yes.
Yes, it's Kenya. Instead of, I believe it was the show Bible who just said she was from Africa.
Yes, Africa. The country of Africa.
Black lady. She's from mm-hmm. Africa. Oh, great. Yeah. Good job, guys. No, they got more specific. She's from Kenya, which apparently, and I don't know if this is, it's probably real. I can't imagine they made this up about a real place, has mm-hmm. 22 languages. And when you grow up there, you have to learn them if you want to communicate. And so that kind of gave her a head start and like, shit, I really like this. I want to learn a lot more languages, which is mm-hmm. a great way to sort of tie in where she's from to what she does. And her parents were academics and they died in I pointed this out in my summary, mm-hmm. like died in a shuttle accident. And so she's like, fuck, what do I do now? And the fact that she's so brilliant that her grief takes the form of excelling the way no one else could.
Yep. Like, yep.
Even when you're sad, you have done better than 98% of everyone in this entire fleet, which is just like, you're a genius, man. You're great. Well,
there's that great bit at the dinner where Pike's like, so you speak like what, 12 languages? And she's like 37, and everyone in the room just turns around like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, 22 to start with, and then, you know, like, spread out a bit.
Yeah.
It's just languages, guys.
Vulcan, and yeah, it's not hard.
It's like, it's so nice. This is the direction the character's taken from glorified phone operator.
Yes. And let's give the Abrams movies some credit. Like, they started, like, the linguist thing barely came up. It came up a little bit in the original series mm-hmm. in the movies, like, but they really embraced that. And, like, that's what made her special was, like, she spoke all these languages and everything. But, like, canonizing that, it's not just in the alternate universe, it's here also, and getting into it is great.
Yes.
I do have some issues with what you're talking about, though. I 100% agree. Like, love seeing her, love learning about her, love like the performer's great. She's a bit like Nichelle Nichols, but she's also her own person. It's a perfect balance. But I thought it was way too pat that she was having this doubt at the same time that they have this perfect mission that's suited for her. Like, that's such a, even in the 60s, it felt a little stale. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That I am a puzzle piece looking for the exact place that I fit. And then the exact place that you fit suddenly appears in the plot. And it's like, oh, perfect. Now I can solve. Like, I don't know. I feel like at this point in the 21st century, we could write something a little more nuance, disguise that a little better, something.
Well, Al, maybe the Comet knew that she needed help figuring out what to do with her life.
That's possible.
See, it's a good Comet.
Honestly, I liked all that Comet shit. This is my good thing. I liked the ambiguity of, yeah, so it turns out the Comet knew Spock was going to fly in there with a shuttle and break it in half. Mm-hmm. That was preordained, part of its plan, and like, at first I was like, wait a minute, that's stupid. Wait, no. That explains why these guys worship as a god. And we don't, we don't need to find out why. Why it knows that. Oh, it's got extra temporal, it's like the wormhole aliens or something. No, we don't need to know any of that. It's just, I don't know, some weird shit in space and it turned out to be benevolent, so we're cool with it. Let's just leave it alone.
Yeah. I kind of love
it. Which is great.
Yeah.
And the shepherd dude says, like, we this is our god. Sometimes it brings punishment. Sometimes it brings life. And Pike's like, well, I respect your beliefs, but that's stupid. And then it turns out, well, actually, no, it isn't.
Uh-huh. I respect your stupid beliefs for idiots, but...
Because I have to, because the Federation says I'm supposed to, but...
There's a bit where Pike, like, basically puts them on hold, turns to Ortega's and whoever the other gal is, or, no, it's Una this week, and just has a look on his face, just like, can you believe this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
He's got such an expressive face, like, he's so good at that, like, and when he looks genuinely haunted when he's thinking about the people... whose lives he's going to save so he could die. And we'll, like, a lot of that is just in his face. And it's so, like, it's so good.
Yeah. He's just... The bit when they're like, okay, so we got to move a comet and save these people and whatever. And he sort of turns to Una and goes, I love this job. And the line comes off as a little, like, too much. But that enthusiasm for doing it, oh!
It's a little too wink to the camera and like genre aware, and we're both I think a little weary of that. But also, when was the last time we had a captain who was just excited to do this?
Well, that's it. Like it crosses that line in Disco when Michael's fucking riding the ship and going, "I bet you're wondering how I got here" or whatever.
Yeah.
But like this right now is cute, and I like it. And it really endears me to the character, which is not difficult.
Going back to Michael, when we had moments like the beginning of that horrible season, three, was it? When they first show up in the future. Yeah, three.
Yes.
When we first came back. When she's got that whole episode where she's like, oh my God, it's 900 years in the future. Everything's different. This is so cool. Like, okay, this is what I want. I want my main, like the core of the series to be excited to do this. And usually you get fucking, you know, you get like Archer, like who's just angry about it all the time, or like Freeman, who was just bad at it. Or like the last several captains we've had on a ship based show are just not happy to be there.
No,
like Kate, God, I can't believe I gotta go to probably work. The last one, you know?
Yeah. Like and you get
even,
to be in
even
space.
Kate was like, even Kate was like, we got to go home. But like, she liked it a little bit, at least.
It's like, look, I'll look at a nebula all day or whatever. But at the end of but like, we still got to get home.
I mean, we're going
to
take
got to get back to my dog.
Yeah. Well, I got sad news about your dog. But
oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were out there 7 years, you know.
Yeah. Didn't even get to play with the puppies. I was going to be the first Starfleet captain to ever play with puppies.
And then it was... goddamn Archer, as always.
Ugh.
Yep.
God, I hate that guy.
Okay, my bad thing. I guess I should get this out of the way early because it also kind of ties into the Uhura thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
We know she's not going to quit. And okay, maybe their point wasn't to make us actually doubt if she was going to quit. Maybe they were playing with the idea that we knew she wasn't and what was going to make her stay. But even still... the prequel setting kind of drains the suspense out of a lot of that. Like, we knew Sam was going to be okay. He just got sidelined. But like, I don't know, when a lot of your peril depends on, we don't know what's going to happen next, but we know exactly what's going to happen next. Like that kind of takes something away, you know?
Yeah. It's, I definitely appreciate like there's the shuttle stuff at the end with Spock and also the stuff with like the Enterprise navigating the actual comet. Like there, it feels like I could feel some actual tension there, you know, but
yes,
at the end of the day, you're not wrong.
No. And like, especially if you're going to play with what happens to the career of blank or what happens to the life of blank, you have created enough new characters for this series. Like, you could threaten to kill Ortegas. You better fucking not, but you could.
Yeah. I'm going to start some shit if you do anything to Ortegas. I love her.
Well, no, absolutely. Me too. And she's looking real hot in this one, by the way.
Jesus Christ, when they go to the party. Holy crap.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I don't think the character's bi, but that was the most bisexual energy I have ever seen in Star Trek.
I mean, listen, that's got to be a lesbian haircut, but like...
I don't know, but or like there's some stuff coming up that threatens the career of number one. We don't know what happens. She could get drummed out of Starfleet. We don't know.
That's true.
And so there's some tension there. Like, there's ways to do that. But like,
yeah,
if your commercial break, like if your act break is like, will Spock die? Well, no, of course he won't.
No.
It's Spock.
Yeah. He's got a lot to do and a very long career.
Yeah, he's got a giant to-do list, and he's just checked off the first two or three items. He's going to be here a while.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about this last night. How would you feel if this was just like a completely different timeline, like the movies?
I don't think the first episode
they kill off somebody who we know for like they killed Scotty off or something.
Yeah, I mean that's like when the Abrams movie blew up Vulcan, just to say, look, this one's different. It's going to be different. Like, I don't know. We did that already. Like, and I loved it, mostly. But, like, I feel like, first of all, I've always said, I said this about Enterprise, too, even before we got into the specific ways it was bad. Like, the prequel thing really boxes you in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But if you do it right, you could, like, I was so hardcore anti-prequel until Better Call Saul. I was like, no shit. You can do this really well if you do it right.
Yep.
So, you know, and these guys.
But it is hard to do.
It is. And at least in the two seasons I've seen, mostly do an okay job. There's a couple, like, again, I'm talking about this a little bit now. We'll get into it when we really get to know her. But Nurse Chapel is not the Nurse Chapel we know at all. And, like, I love this character and I love this performer.
Oh, yeah.
I just. This doesn't line up with I think we said this last week too. We need to not get too fixated on all that shit. Like there's some things
to accept this.
Yeah, but if you're gonna play with the fact that, hey, look, it's Uhura. You know Uhura, you know what she's gonna go on to do, then we do need to buy into some of that. Like I don't care about chapter and verse canon, but I do want you to stay true to some certain things just because you chose to play here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, we've said this a million times, but like, take what you know and like extrapolate from there, you know?
Well, yeah, like we have pointed out and will continue to point out, so many potentially great characters got overshadowed by Shatner's fucking Big Willy that we like, we missed out knowing what Scotty was like. We missed out like getting inside Sulu's head. We like all those guys could have been really interesting and they're just they nothing because of that guy. So now we have the chance to really get into it. And I don't know that Sulu's ever going to show up, but like Scotty will.
I kind of hope
like,
so.
Spoilers, I guess. Yeah, me too. I would like, there's a whole list of guys I'd like to see. And some I don't need to see. Like, I adore Bones, but I think he comes with Kirk.
Yeah. No, I
feel like they show up together. Like as a, you know. As like, oh, this is my friend. He's a chief medical officer. And at that point, Mbenga's like, but I'm the chief medical. Yeah, not anymore. You're not.
Bye. Enjoy night shift.
Hey, sorry about this. This is not my idea, but Jim, you know how that guy is.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't. Well, you're about to.
I would really like, and I'm surprised they haven't done this yet. Like, I'm shocked that Gary Mitchell never shows up. Like,
see, that would be a good pull because he was an existing character on the Enterprise, supposedly.
Yeah. That is a character with a huge relationship to Kirk, like his best friend before Spock, who like dies in the first episode. Like, there's a lot of meat on those gym mats.
Absolutely. And like you could get into some of the one-off guys. Like we fell in love with Helen Noel way back in the
day. Oh, I was
like,
just thinking of Helen Noel. Yeah.
Or Gary Mitchell's friend, I remember the performer, it's Sally Kellerman, because she was in a bunch of stuff that I'm familiar with, but like she was in the movie version of MASH and a bunch of other stuff. I don't remember the character's name, unfortunately, but you know, his blonde friend.
Yeah, no, there's dozens of these. Like the dude that showed up that died on Prodigy, remember?
Yes, Garavik.
Yes, yeah. Stick him in there. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Or
All these guys are interesting.
Hey, Captain Pike. I'm D'Amato. This is my wife.
Oh,
Mrs. D'Amato.
Fuck.
Oh. We're back.
Bet you never thought you'd see us again.
Well, that's true.
No, we sure didn't.
Number one, who the hell are these people?
Captain, I'm on the phone with the Hood right now. I'm trying to get them back.
They have really... They're going warp 11 somehow, which isn't even a thing, but they have managed it. They're gone.
Oh, get back here. I'm going to show you how to make a real Starfleet pizza.
A pizza pie with the topping of your choice.
The best joke in all of The Simpsons.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What was your bad thing?
This was the episode where I really noticed Spock's long, spindly sideburns, and I don't like those. You got to shave those fuckers back a touch. Like, look, it's Star Trek. I love a pointy sideburn, but these things are going way down, and if you keep letting them grow, they're gonna take over his face and regrow his disco beard, which,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't mind the disco beard. I thought he looked pretty hot. He didn't look a lot like Spock to me, but he looked pretty hot.
The disco beard was very patchy to me, you know?
Mm, okay.
Like, a guy will rock a beard, but, like, I'm like, just, you know, no. Yeah. Stop it.
I mean, Pike had a good beard last episode when he was supposed to be, like, contemplating his future in Starfleet.
That's a good beard right there. April had a great beard as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. M'Benga.
Yep, great beard. There's all quality beards on this show, Spock. You don't need to grow a beard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I told you to trim those sideburns.
I agree with you, but I have a further problem, which is that they don't look like hair to me. It looks like they're drawn on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Yeah. Just you know what? Just get a photo of Nimoy.
Yep.
Tape it up in the makeup chair and just copy that as close as you can. Obviously, Ethan Peck's face is not identical to Nimoy's, but you could. This one's easy. You can do that one. Just make it the
vibe is there.
Yeah.
Like, if I see that guy, I'm like, that's Spock. But I'm like, that's Spock, but he should really trim those sideburns.
He looks pretty like, he sounds a lot like. That's what gets me.
He does.
But I'm also more of a voice guy, so.
Sure. You need to get down to the original series version of Mr. Mott. Get that shit taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's still Mr. Mott. Bullions live a long time.
Oh, that's good. Good for him.
I just pulled that out of my ass. I have no idea.
The best barber in all of Starfleet.
I guess so. So we got to spend a little time with Hemmer, who, as I mentioned, is kind of a jerk.
He's
kind of that good-natured jerk. And we do a bit where Uhura's being hazed a little, where Ortegas told her to put on her dress uniform. First of all, hate the dress uniform. It looks like it belongs in post-Next Gen, like Lower Decks or something like that. Like, and that's not a dig at Lower Decks. I like their uniforms. What I'm saying is... It feels sort of late 24th century. It looks weird here, the two-tone, like with the red and the black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't fit the original series vibe at all. But second, she's also got the communicator pin, which don't exist yet. But these are minor nitpicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, she shows up in her dress uniform, and everyone's like, oh, you fell for that, huh? And then Hemmer's being kind of a jerk to her, and she stands up to him immediately, and he's like, oh, I like you. And like, I think that's part of the hazing. And... I did look this up. I mentioned last week, I thought that the performer is also blind, and it turns out he is.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a good bit of like, okay, like rather than having an able-eyed person playing a blind person, why not cast a blind actor?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good idea. And the look of him is cool. He's like an albino Andorian, so it's that sort of ridgy-faced Andorians we're getting post-Next Gen, but like, he's all white and he's got the white contacts and he looks cool.
I really like the face prosthetics they give him. Like,
Yep.
Like, we've definitely done the bumpy faced Andorians before, but this guy feels exceptionally bumpy faced and I'm here for it.
Yeah. No, they started evolving the look of the Andorians because we said this when they first showed up in Enterprise, like all my problems with Enterprise set aside for a minute. You guys got a tough job there. Like the blue-faced antenna aliens, good luck making them look cool. And they kind of did, actually.
Yeah, it works.
Like, Shran looked good.
Yeah.
But they've been evolving, and this look sort of came through Disco, and I think this is the best they've looked so far.
Absolutely.
And it's such a silly idea, but they make it work.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Good shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so here's the thing I wanted to talk about. We got a little bit of Chapel. Once again, she's there to like set them up before their away mission, which actually, this is my quote. She's flirting with Spock a bit before they go, and here's that.
You ready for this?
I'm more than capable of managing any pain you can induce.
Mr. Spock, now you're just toying with me.
That was not my intention.
I've noticed.
That made me laugh quite a lot.
Amazing. Oh, I love her so much.
Me too. But again, not really the Chapel we know, but
that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
Chapel had a real small role on TOS. Like, she only appeared in a couple episodes, I think.
She did, but she was very meek.
She was that's the thing. She was there enough that we got a real good idea of what her personality is.
And her disposition is very cautious and meek, and like, oh, I wonder if Spike, I wonder if he'll notice me. And like, that wasn't even bad. It's very 60s, but it wasn't too bad. But like, this woman is completely self-assured, knows like exactly what she's doing. And like from my quote, just flirting her ass off, like, you know, she knows. But anyway, it occurred to me, we have her and the performers, Jess Bush is her name, and she's fantastic. And then we have number one, Rebecca Romijn, who's also fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we have in this, I believe, introduced in this episode, and I don't have the name handy, the computer voice.
Oh, yeah.
These are three roles originated by Majel Barrett. Majel was so good, they had three different people play her. Like, it took three people to replace her. That occurred to me, and it's like, oh, wow, yeah.
That's really funny.
I adore her, but she was not that great. Mm-hmm. It's just she was the boss's wife, and she kept getting work. But still, you know, it's kind of cool.
The computer voice in this, like, I really noticed it doing, like, a Majel in TNG impression. Like, it was definitely someone played her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Majel's voice, you know? Can you replicate this? Yes.
You could do a little meta joke and just have Rebecca Romijn do it, but this was also good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the Peter David theory that number one recorded the computer voice, which is why it sounds like her.
Yep. Makes as much sense as anything.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Let's see, what else?
What else we got?
Just more notes about Khan Jr. being shitty. At one point during...
I have the moment.
Yes?
Oh, I have the moment when they're examining the egg, and I'm just like, well, did any of you consider the fact that maybe it's just a giant Ferrero Rocher, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No. You only think about yourselves.
Khan Jr. just says to Uhura, you gonna get us out of here or you gonna get us killed? Like, this kid, she's got to be, what, 20? Like, she's a baby. Like... You don't have to coddle her, but quit being who put you in charge of people?
She really is just the worst. Like, the moment in this episode, you mentioned it in your summary, but the moment in this episode where they're all getting their injections and she's like, I'm not going to react at all because I'm tough.
Yeah, they covered
that
last week.
That's embarrassing.
They covered that last week where she's like, because I went through all that trauma, I don't take sedatives anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we all do because.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry you went through that, and I would like to help you with that, but you do not make it easy.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not, like, having a character with trauma, you can do something with that, but having a character with trauma who only wants to talk about her trauma.
Who angrily brings it up to make every, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just, like, I'm gonna make this everybody's problem.
Yeah, she just makes it all about her, and it's like, you've been through some shit, and we are a supportive crew, and we want to help you, but Jesus, man.
Yeah. It's like, you want to stop picking fights with randos? Mm-hmm. No!
I mean, it reminds me a little of...
I love fights.
It reminds me a little of early Kira, but they fixed that shit quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully they will with... I don't remember, but I don't think they do.
Not into the...
At least not up to...
I saw all of season two, and they hadn't yet.
Yeah. Ugh. I think I'm remembering why I completely forgot this character existed other than her name.
Sam has a moment when they're starting to figure shit out and he says, Yahtzee! And I wish he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't care for that either.
Mm-hmm. They,
I guess it's better than him going, "Kata, Scott."
That's a good pull, though.
Or that game Riker played with his dad.
Parisi Squares.
Parisi Squares.
Boy, I'm nailing it today.
Yeah, man.
Gonna go to the Parisi Squares court with Garavik.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget your best friend D'Amato over here.
Did you hear something? Not me.
Nope.
Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Walk fast.
Mm-hmm. Walk faster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, he's gaining us. Turn, turn.
Serpentine.
Don't move. His vision is based on movement.
No, you're thinking of bad.
Hey. Hey, I'm going to eat a live goat over here.
You're coming for my hoard of gold? We learn in this episode.
He thinks we're after his pirate turds.
I mocked it with an O. This is the episode where we discover that one of the younger officers behind Pike, sitting in the Uhura station when she's not there, is named Ensign Christina.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, so that's her surname, or does she only have the one? I don't know.
I miss Ensign Christina.
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 Oh, maybe she's maybe she's Vulcan. Maybe her name is T'Christina.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense. Her first name is just T apostrophe.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, exactly. All right. Anything else?
Let's see. I like the aliens on the planet. I thought they were really cool designed, but I thought their weird clothes made up of carpet swirls were nasty.
That didn't bother me. I also like the look of the Shepherd's ship and the alien in there. Those had that look of like something that might have been designed in the 60s but couldn't have been pulled off back then.
Yep, yep. It looks like a laser pointer surrounded by rings, and it rules.
That it's a very 60s design, because that's how they talked about making space stations and stuff like in real life. Like the cylinder with the rings around it.
Yeah.
And very classic old school space thing, and looked fantastic.
Mm. I did I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was in elementary school, I had to do a science fair thing, and I designed a space station, and I got to like learn all that crap.
Oh, cool. I remember a little of that from science class, but I don't think I did the deep dive that you must have done. So that's cool.
No, I did like a whole, deep dive that did it. Much of a deep dive as I did on any of my school. Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking, I wasn't out to win any awards or anything, which is good because I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Were you there to make friends, though?
No, I wasn't there to make friends either. I wanted to be left alone.
Yeah. Hey, me too.
Yeah. And then we made friends. Right. Weird how that works out.
Yeah. I hate gatherings, but I like people.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything. Oh, yeah. Right. Last thing.
Yeah,
I never want to see another slow astronaut walk ever again. Ever.
Ugh. Yeah, they get suited up. And the suits look pretty good. They look similar to the
series
spacesuits, but different.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do the slow motion, like, tracking shot in front of them. And it's like, okay.
Yeah,
enough.
Stop it.
Yep. We all saw, most of us haven't seen the right stuff because it looked kind of boring. But we all know the right
stuff. And we don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're going to run out of Star Trek again. Maybe we will have to. There's a lot of stuff we end up having to watch.
That's true. I don't know. Is it good?
It's just long, is all. It's the real story about the space program, but it's probably pretty good.
All right.
All right. So that's all for this time. Oh, I wanted to mention, this year we are doing one of those crossovers that we do with Irish and English Gav. In fact, we've already recorded.
Oh, yes.
That should be dropping somewhere around Christmas, maybe Christmas Eve, maybe Boxing Day. I'm not sure yet, but sometime very soon.
Yes.
So check that out. It'll be in this feed, so it'll be real easy to check out. next episode for this, we are doing Ghosts of Illyria. I have no idea what that is, but I hope there aren't any ghosts, because
there'll be ghosts.
Oh, I hate ghosts. Get out of here, Brandon. The website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. The Patreon is patreon.com/Algar. We got all kinds of cool stuff that you can get way ahead of time for anyone else. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.